Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. You know, we talk about our website because that is our international, that's our, I guess our multimedia home for the radio show. And you can find affiliates for our radio show. You can also find downloads that go back over a decade. You've got full shows over there. We have character clips over there. We have a connection to our social media sites on Facebook and on Twitter. We're at Twitter at RealPhilHendry. That's twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. We got like a lot of Twitter. You have a Twitter account, Margaret?
Yes, I'm over there with quite a few people.
Margaret Gray. So look for Margaret at twitter.com/Margaret Gray. Bud, you're there.
Yeah, I'm the Bud Dickman. You want to do it?
Go to, get off the mic, man. I'll do it.
Oh, my God. You're blowing my ears at, you idiot.
Well.
Bud, don't go up and lip lock the freaking mic.
Yeah, man. What's with you, man? What, you think? Oh, yeah, right. You probably want to put your lips on it.
Hey, Bud, you're the guy that's lip-locking the mic. Anyway, go to Twitter. I'll do it. Twitter.com/... The Bud Dickman. THEBUDDICKMAN. However, having said all of that, over the course of the next few weeks and a couple of months, actually, our website, our social media, we are interfacing with a new partner. As soon as we get all of that settled, we will tell you who, because they're great people, and we want you to know them better. That's going to provide some new opportunities to enjoy our website for you guys that are Backstage Pass members, new Backstage Pass members. We're talking about a mobile site. We're talking about an app. We're talking, and I know that a lot of cats have apps, okay? But we don't rush into the app business because some of them are so loaded up with virus and full of a lot of cheesy advertising. I got no interest in that, okay? Nonetheless.
Yeah, watch, man. The one you get is probably going to have all that stuff.
Well, that'd be my luck. No, we'll make sure it's cool. So now's the time to get a Backstage Pass at philhendryshow.com. And all I can tell you is we've got more media when it comes to a radio show and when it comes to a funny radio show, one of the greatest, we like to think, in the history of the world. Why, then, it's just a no-brainer. PhilHendryShow.com. Also, a new podcast is due out tonight, episode 54, right?
Yeah, it's episode 54. It's going to be out.
Right now, we got 53 is on the boards with Lloyd Bonafide. This thing is beautiful. Did you hear this thing?
Uh-oh.
Lloyd Bonafide was arguing. It's out now, and you can download it at iTunes. Lloyd Bonafide is there talking about how, yeah, I'm sorry I'm elderly, and I ran over a kid. And the only reason why I knew I ran over a kid was the baby carriage was stuck under the windshield wiper blade.
Oh, my. Are you kidding?
No. No. Then he pulled over and he went, huh, how about that? I must have hit some. He said that even though I'm elderly and I ran, you know, nobody's going to put me in jail because I'm too grandfatherly. Nobody wants to put old people in jail. So check it out. It's our free Phil Hendry podcast at iTunes and philhendryradio.com, our free site. So this is kind of, and I was talking to Dan. So Dan, during the break, you got to check this out. This is what this comes under the heading of Phil's household tips or household stuff. Okay. So
did you get the Osterizer or not?
Hold on, Margaret. Let me tell this story before you start asking me about what I did.
Well, I'm just trying to find out. Did you get the glass?
Yes, I did. Hold on. The other night, I make a lot of these shakes because I've been on this diet now since March 19th, as you guys know. I'm at 217 pounds, although I may be even less than that because I didn't get on the scale this week because I don't, you know. I'm now thinking I'm only going to weigh myself every couple of weeks.
Why?
Because it seems that that's the interval. That's how long it takes for me to see each weight loss happen. And as you know, I am targeting the end of the month, Halloween, man. I better be at 210 because I got to start having some fun with my life. I got to start to eat something, man.
Yeah, you're going to pump in a bunch of candy.
I don't care if it's candy. I don't care what I'm eating, man. I got to start to enjoy. I've been on this diet long enough, and I've dropped a hell of a lot of pounds. By the time this thing is all said and done, I will have dropped 79 pounds. That's a lot, man. Almost 80.
Phil, everyone is rooting for you. But you don't want to introduce into your system the very first thing that you have after your diet is a lot of sugar and chocolate and garbage. My God, the squirts. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's very nice, Margaret.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you probably talk about a Hershey squirt. It will be a Hershey squirt.
Shut up, man.
You shut up.
That's real funny.
What's the matter?
Oh, why don't you grow up?
Phil, Bud may be a mental deficient, and he might even be technically a microcephalic. But
what's that?
Never mind.
Means you got a tiny brain. You got a tiny brain.
But what Bud is saying is true. If you eat nothing but chocolate and candy and sugar as the very first meal that you introduce into your system, after all of those months of purifying your body temple, my God, the squirts.
Woo!
Okay.
What are you laughing at?
God, Margaret, what the hell are you, man, in a locker room all of a sudden? My God, the squirts. Woo!
I'm just telling you.
What? I bet you've been there.
Let me say something to you. I'm a lady, all right? But I was on a diet, and then I thought I'd have some of Jason J. Delmonico's Halloween candy. He had one that I happened to like called the baby sugar, the baby sugar. You know that one?
No, I don't.
You don't know baby sugar?
No.
My God, it's one of the most famous...
Are you talking about sugar babies?
Sugar babies, that's it, yeah.
Baby sugar? You mean those sugar babies a little...
They're chewy caramel, and then there's another one that's part chocolate and part marshmallow. But the one that I love, and the one I must have had about a dozen of these, and Frank was saying to me, why are you eating those? Are you hoping that it comes out as solid as those look going in? And I said, my God, you are filthy. And I remember I went home, I took a hotel room that night. I was so disgusted with him.
Okay, Margaret, this story is going on and on and on.
Excuse me. Oh, what's he doing?
Call up Frank.
Don't call Frank.
I want to get Frank on the phone so we can wrap this up so I can move on. Frank said to you what?
I'm talking about my favorite candy in the world, in the whole worldwide, in the wide world web. Or the worldwide, whatever you say, okay? I'm talking about my favorite candy. And I'm telling you, I absolutely love it.
That Frank?
Yeah.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Man, I'm better than Custer. How are you?
I'm great. We got Margaret here.
Hi, honey.
Frank, listen, they want to ask you about the baby Ruth.
The baby Ruth, yeah. She came home from Halloween.
Was that what you're talking about, Margaret?
No. I'm talking about my son, Jason J. Delmonico. She went out trick-or-treating, you know.
Okay, yeah.
And she comes back, so he says, oh, and, you know, we do the same thing every Halloween. Every time Jason J. Delmonico will come back, you know, we'd say, hey, let's find out what she got. And so Margaret, he starts digging through, and I dig through. I like, I'll tell you what I like, Phil. I like the, what's the one where the kids, the ones from the Peanut cartoon, and they used to sit on the floor, and they would pretend they were a train. You remember, did you remember that one?
No, I don't. I don't remember that one.
And they check the box.
Are you talking about Good and Plenty?
Good and Plenty. I love the Good and Plenty. Do they make that anymore?
Well, that's a good question. Good and Plenty? I guess they do. That was a licorice.
Yes. That was a lot of fun, and I used to have it. I'd do that. But Margaret liked the baby Ruth. And I knew that when he ate candy, because Margaret generally eats good food, but every time he eats candy, it's a mess. And you got to go in there with towels.
Frank, what? You know, can you clean it up?
Did the man ask me a question, or did she not? She asked me about it, right?
Yes, but you don't have to be specific.
Well, let me tell you a couple of things. When you eat candy, after you've been eating nothing but salads with you and your girlfriends, and you think you're all wonderfully cleansed out, and then you eat candy, it was like an ass explosion in there. And
okay, Frank, I don't need to hear the specifics, all right?
Okay, so you understand, I got to get paper towels, cleanser, mops, brooms. It goes on for days.
All right, Frank.
Well, I mean, she asked me, so I'm telling her.
Okay, what I wanted to know, though, was this baby Ruth.
Yeah, so anyway, he says, oh, look, Jason J. Delmonico got the baby Ruth, so, you know, I said, are you going to eat it? And he says, yeah. And I said, well, this time I hope it comes out looking the way it does going in, because the baby Ruth looks like a very compact turd. And
oh, God.
What's the matter?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to show that you are as vile and as vulgar as anything I've ever said or done. And for you to tell the entire audience that I have a little bit of a loose bone, okay?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Could you speak up?
Okay, we heard it, Frank. I'll let you go, all right?
Thank you. I would like to be let go because I'm watching this wonderful program, You know, it wasn't so long ago that we lost an American president to an assassin. And I'm watching her right now getting her head blown off. And
okay, thanks, Frank.
What was he talking about?
Talking about the Kennedy assassination.
Oh.
Watching her get her head blown off. All right.
So anyway, and that, you know what? I don't think I'll have another Baby Ruth.
Well, you certainly, you know that Baby Ruths look like that.
No, I do not.
Yeah, everybody knows a Baby Ruth looked like a turd. You know that?
But if you start in with that, I'll fire you again.
Sorry.
Okay, we'll be right back. That was a whole real meaningless segment, wasn't it? Including hearing about our late president getting her head blown off. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The other one was the Big Daddy, which is shaped like a penis.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's okay.
I don't think you should. Because you're breaking a confidence.
I don't think it's a bad thing to say.
I think if I were you, I'd ask Ken first.
I don't think it's a bad thing to say at all. Ken, I had a drink with Ken Minyard. Big deal, man.
Yeah, what? Who cares?
I think you're breaking a confidence.
What? Ken Minyard is and what it was longtime number one ranked talk show host in Los Angeles. He and Bob Arthur, you guys in L.A., you know who Ken is. And he's a wonderful man. He's a terrific guy and a sweet guy. And I got to know Ken when we were both over here, members of this club. That, you know, no big thing. It was a yacht club. I don't own a boat, you know, but I went over there just because the restaurant was so good and they had a nice bar. And
well, you're a member of a private club and everything. Why aren't you a Republican?
Yeah, that sounds like a Republican thing.
What?
Ken, by the way, is a Democrat. He's a liberal Democrat. What do you mean that's a Republican thing?
Well, what are you doing at a private club?
What this business? It's not a private club. It doesn't cost anything. It costs a few bucks a month. I didn't own a boat. I just went over there because they had a nice restaurant and they had a good bar. But anyway, I met Ken over there. And, you know, we got friendly. Our families did. And I said, well, why don't you come over one time because we make this yucca. And
now the yucca you have to explain to people.
Yucca is a drink that I learned from Garrett and another family. But it's an amazing drink because it's made with tequila, the juice of lemons and limes, and a cup of sugar and ice. You put that into a 10-gallon jug and you shake this thing for 50 minutes. That's why they call it a yucca party, because you have a bunch of people shaking this jug of booze. You got tequila, sugar, lemon lime juice, just squeeze it right out of the, and then throw the peels in too, and then 3/4, and then a whole bottle of tequila. Don't use good tequila, just use some rot gut.
Jose Cuervo.
Exactly. I'm kidding, it's, you know, whatever. A whole bottle of tequila, and then you shake this thing for 50 minutes. Now, when you uncork this thing, and you drink it, it's like Country Time lemonade. That's how good it is. It's unbelievable. And I used to say, when you drink this yucca, it's more than just getting a buzz on tequila. It's like the best margarita you ever had. It's almost like there's some other aspect to it, you know.
Well, you used the analogy of LSD.
No, I did not.
Didn't you say hallucination?
No, I did not. I said it was like an upper almost. So I had some of this. I made this yucca for my birthday party one year, and Ken Minyard and his wife came over, along with some other couples. They're nice people, okay? Jesus, Margaret. I can't say I had the guy over to my house.
Well, I just think it's violating a confidence.
What? But the reason why I'm bringing up Ken is because he took a sip. He was drinking this with us, and he looked at me and goes, you know what? You're right. He says, I don't know what it is, but it is different. And that's when he began to do somersaults.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. No, it didn't. Not really.
Well, what happened? Did anybody pass out?
No, no one passed out. But he made the comment it was different. There was a different quality to it. So, because Dan and I were saying, well, what's the meal that you're going to have, Phil, when you finally break your diet? And I said, well, I suppose there's a healthy meal, and then there's one that I would just like to have, you know.
Well, I don't think you should, and Dan's absolutely right, you should have sensible foods, nothing that will give you gas or that will cause any kind of loose stool. Now,
Margaret, do you have to get into these conversations every time?
What do you Phil, I'm telling you what would be healthy for you. I've been through this before. And
yes, we've already heard. I don't, you know, please don't tell me more about your...
Well, I'm just saying, I think a sensible meal would be probably a steak, broccoli, mashed potatoes.
A little wine?
A nice wine, yes.
I'm thinking of going over to Maestro's over there in Westlake Village.
West Wake Village? Were you going to go with Elmer Fudd?
Elmer Fudd!
That's what you sounded like.
Okay, I'm sorry. I said West Wake Village.
No, you go... No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Here's what you did, see?
You went, okay, man, you don't have to get a big build-up on the thing. I know what I did, bud. I said West Wake Village.
Yeah, you're hysterical, man.
Okay, great. God. So, yeah, I'm thinking about doing that, going over there and... Or if I don't get a steak and I don't get any mashed potatoes, I'm going to get... I'm just going to just take, as you know, all kinds of Halloween candy and just shovel it down. I don't know what it's going to be. Right now, as I said, I'm around 215 to 217. I'm giving myself till the end of the month to get the weight off, and it will come off because I'm going down to 210. And now I'm almost like anorexic. Now I'm thinking, how about 200?
That is dangerous. And that's exactly what Dr. Emery told you not to do, didn't he?
No, he didn't say anything about that. He just said he thought I should stop at 220.
Yes, and then you talked him into 210.
I didn't talk him into anything. I said, my plan is 210. And he goes, yeah, you know what, Phil, you're right.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm sure he just went, oh, Phil, you know better than me.
No, he didn't. He's named. Look, Dr. Emery's a great doctor. He's not going to do anything that he doesn't think is healthy. But he said, what do you want to do? I said, oh, you know, I want to go down to 210. And he said to me, well, you know, he thought about it. And he said, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I think you're right. You can do 210. So that's what it was. It wasn't any kind of big, you know, I didn't have to harangue the guy and talk him into it. I just feel like 210 is a better weight. And frankly, when I was, look, I'm no different a guy than I was in my 20s, except I'm older, but why can't I be the same weight that I was then? I was 195, 190 pounds back then.
It will be impossible for you to get down to 190 pounds. Are you mad?
No, why?
Because you're a different man now, Phil. Everyone knows, but after a man hits 40, his ass gets bigger, his thighs get humongous.
You're talking about women.
I think, yeah, you are talking about women.
Oh, I'm talking about women, am I? You know, bud, everything you say is basically you begging me for the right hand, right...
For the right hand where?
Please let me kick his ass.
No.
Please.
No. It was all set up for the Yankees. Raul Ibanez, their postseason hero, was at the plate in the top of the ninth with the tying and go-ahead runs on base. Justin Verlander was on the bench, and reliever Phil Koch was on the ropes. But in an at-bat that took on the look of most every other Yankee, the mighty Ibanez struck out. And just like that, it's win or go home for the Bombers. Verlander dominated for most of the night, leading the Tigers to a 2-1 win in Game 3 and a commanding 3-0 lead in the American League Championship Series. Verlander allowed one run on three hits over 8 1/3 innings, striking out three without walking a batter, and Eduardo Nunez... Leadoff homer in the ninth cut the lead to one run. Verlander handed the ball to Koch with one out. With two out, Mark Teixeira. Mark Teixeira singled, and Robinson Caruso.
Kano.
Added, I'm sorry, I'm not a baseball fan. Added.
Yeah, you sound about as lame as a lot of these people who don't like sports.
I like sports, and I followed sports. This year I didn't follow the baseball, sorry. Robinson Cano added another single, snapping an 0-for-29 slump. Do you love that? I love to see that when a guy is 0-for-29 and they still put him in there, and that's a great manager, see? That's a great manager.
What's 0-for-29?
At 29 at-bats, he didn't have a hit. 29 times he went up to the plate, and he didn't have a hit. And the manager says, go on, kid, go out there and get it done, you know? That shows that's a good manager because he knows it's just a matter of time before a guy busts out of a slump. I wouldn't, you know something? If I owned that team and the guy put him in 0-for-29, the kid went 0-for-30, I wouldn't fault the guy at all and say, sooner or later, the kid's got to come out of it. And when, you know, what better time than in the playoffs? So this kid has a single. He snaps an 0-for-29 slump to put two runners on. But Koch struck Ibanez out with a nasty 3-2 slider to end the game and leave the Yankees on the brink of elimination. That's okay. Yanks, there's always next year. Sorry, that's not a very good...
Yeah, that's great, man.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah, the Tigers. I'll tell you one thing about the playoffs this year. It's got classic matchups. Tigers, Yankees, Cards, Giants. Love it. You got to love it. You got to love it. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, what we did is put on the screen here the famous Pete Rose Ray Fosse collision, and I'll play it again. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we I had a very nice comment from a gentleman on Facebook who gave us the history. This early scene here is Pete Rose of the Reds. There's Pete Rose as a member of the Phillies, but now we're going to see the All-Star game in 1970. Here's Rose taking a lead. There's a hit by, it looks like a Dodger. Now Pete Rose is rounding third. He's heading home. Ray Fosse is at the plate. And watch this collision. Boom. And look at Ray Fosse is obviously hurt. You can see Fosse is sort of on his knees, stunned. Now, was he safe? Look at the umpire. What's the umpire calling? I guess he's safe. Look at Rose is looking down at Fosse, wanting to make sure he's okay. And now there's that ugly kisser of Pete Rose, probably explaining what a bitchin' guy he is. So, I guess he was safe because he's being congratulated there by his teammates.
Man, that's bad. That Fosse looked like he got hurt.
Well, now I want to read you a very nice comment on Facebook by Harrison Cloak, who is one of our Facebook fans. He says, Phil, you know, enjoy the show. I wanted to comment on Pete Rose Ray Fosse. It happened during the 1970 All-Star game in Cincinnati. Pete was trying to score in the bottom of the ninth inning to give the National League the win. Ray Fosse was a catcher for the Cleveland Indians. See, I thought, what made me think he was a member of the Mets? Because I wasn't thinking. He was a catcher for the Cleveland Indians, playing as a backup in the American League All-Stars. He was later traded to the Oakland Athletics and was a member of the three-time world championship team. Obviously, Gene Tennis was the catcher for those teams. I guess Fosse was the backup. Am I right about that? The collision did result in Fosse having chronic knee problems through the remainder of his career. Hope you enjoyed this story. Have a great night. Thanks very much, Harrison. I did enjoy the story. Because first of all, now I know that Ray Fosse was a member of the Cleveland Indians and not the New York Mets. I had no idea. But when you look at that collision, man.
Yeah, that guy, and there's all Pete Rose going, hey, yeah, how bitching am I? And that guy, he almost killed that guy.
See, this is why I don't like, what is the point of that? And you want us to teach children that?
No, did I say teach children that?
Well, sooner or later, these little boys that play baseball or Little League, they're going to learn to engage in that kind of thing. Do you want a child to die before he's even 10 years old?
You know, Margaret, that I don't. And you don't teach children that. You don't teach them that. You teach them how to slide. You teach them how to slide, a traditional slide. You don't teach them how to barrel into somebody. I'll tell you what, anybody who teaches a kid at the Little League level, anyone that teaches kids how to attack the skill of base running, which is a separate skill in and of itself, by colliding with a player in that manner, is not a responsible teacher. Because I don't think you teach a kid that. You learn that in high school. You learn that in college. You learn that in the minor leagues. You know, not as a little leaguer. No.
Well, you know, there are men out there that want these kids to be little miniature, tiny. Whatever this guy, Pete Rose, or what, is that his name?
Pete Rose, yeah.
They want them to be these little guys that, you know.
I understand that. And they're irresponsible. But the fact of the matter is, that's baseball. That's what you have to do, okay? Pete Rose has been long heralded as one of the great base runners because he was an aggressive base runner. And he got a lot of hits, and he was on base a lot. He was very valuable to his team. Now, he rolls into Ray Fosse there, and Fosse, for the rest of his career, had, you know, leg problems.
What about, here's the man that you're not talking about. You think that's so at, what about Ty Cobb?
What about Ty Cobb?
Yeah, Ty Cobb, man, he's a racist.
He's a lowlife, man.
Hey, you're talking about Tyronius Cobb.
What do you mean, Tyronius Cobb?
Ain't that his name?
Well, how do you know?
Gotta be something like that. Got a name like Ty's. Especially if you live in a day what he lived in. Probably named like Tolunian Cobb or something like that.
Tolunian Cobb.
I don't care if it's corn on the cob. What do you think of that? Mr. C, corn on the cob, C-O Cobb. C-O-T Cobb.
What's C-O-T Cobb? Corn on the cob?
Yeah.
Was that his name?
No, it was Ty Cobb.
Yeah.
What about it, bud?
Well, he's the guy saying...
Ty Cobb was a stinking foul racist, man.
Wait, now, wait. Hold the phone here. Are you getting Ty Cobb mixed up? Ty Cobb was an ornery guy. He was a mean guy. Are you getting him mixed up with, like, Cap Anson, guys like that?
Who?
Well, there were cats that were known as rabid racist bastards, and there were guys that were just known as scumbags. I don't know. Ty Cobb was probably a racist. I don't know. What are you going to do, man? It's just like white people in those days.
Yeah, all they had were white people playing baseball back then.
Yeah, that's all the only ones that played it good.
Are you nuts, man? They had black players out there at that time play just as good.
If they played just as good, why wasn't they famous?
Bud, are you an idiot or something? They had the black major leagues because it was segregated, right?
Yeah, but nobody ever heard about them.
Yes, they did. If you followed the black major leagues, you heard of a lot of those players. Josh Gibson, Satchel Paige, that's just the cream of the crop, man. Those are the two most famous. But there were all kinds of guys, and there were a lot of guys that came out of the black major leagues that played in the major leagues eventually. One of them was Hank Aaron. Another was Jackie Robinson, guys like that. So what are you saying, just because nobody ever heard of them?
Well, how come they didn't play with the white guys?
Because they wouldn't let them, man.
They didn't let them in those days. They didn't let them. They didn't want them to.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson did.
Yeah, because eventually they did let them, man.
That sounds too pat.
Hey, bud, quit being stupid or I'm going to belt you.
Yeah, see? You see what I'm saying? That's what he does. That's what makes me want to strangle the life out of him.
I understand, but you're being contrary again, man.
Why can't I have my opinion?
Because I know you're full of crap. I know you don't believe half the stuff you say. You like to bait people into an argument.
Why?
You got a black girlfriend. You know, you and Robert hang out. You're not a racist, so quit trying to pretend like you're one.
I'm just asking the tough questions what need to be asked in this day and age.
Man, you're even dumber than I thought you were. When I first met you, I thought you were dumb. Now, I think you're even dumber than that.
Okay. So now your opinion's changed. It shows what a loyal friend you are.
Oh, boy.
You are something else. You're dumb. They ought to package your kind of dumb and sell it to our enemies, to the enemies of America. Here, have some dumb. Thank you. Don't mind if I do.
That's not a bad idea. What?
You really are, man. You're something else. You're something else. You know, I mean, look at all of this bull crap aside. Whatever. You know, I'm talking about just interesting ballplayers, okay? Can we just forget about white, black for just a second? Just for 5 seconds, can we forget about that? Is that okay?
I don't care.
Yeah, well.
I'm just talking about we're talking about base runners, guys that ran the bases. Now, Ty Cobb, this guy you're talking about, Margaret, was an ornery SOB. Everybody hated his guts. One of my favorite things to do is to go through these New York Times front pages that I have. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I stumbled across an article. This is on the front page. This has nothing to do with baseball, but it was on the front page of the New York Times from the 20s. And it says major leaguer or slugger, you know, the terms they used in those days, right?
Yeah, they would say slugger.
Yeah. Major league slugger Ty Cobb arrested in Detroit for assaulting grocer. Oh, my God, this is funnier than hell. You got to be kidding me, man. I mean, I know that Ty Cobb, you know. It turns out that his wife came home, Ty Cobb's wife came home, and said something to him like, that grocer down at the corner is a real jackball because he did this and he did that, something. So there's Ty. You can well imagine Ty Cobb.
Yeah, he's probably sitting listening to Amos and Andy.
I'm gonna fire you again, man.
No, I didn't mean that racial.
Then why'd you say Amos and Andy?
I'm sorry, I meant to say something else. Like, okay, so he's sitting, he's just listening to, like, the news.
Okay, great. So he's sitting listening to the news, or whatever he's doing. In comes his wife, that grocer at the corner, this, that. The next thing you know, Cobb is out of the apartment, down the street at the grocery store, beating up this grocer because of something he said to the guy's wife.
Well, what was it, you know?
Well, I think it had something to do with a disagreement over the transaction, that Mrs. Cobb thought the guy shortchanged her or whatever, but this thing made the headlines in the New York City paper from Detroit. Now, that shows you at that time, and you know, things were not as widely reported in those days because simply the lines of communication were not what they are today. So for you to make national news, you got to be some kind of a big deal. That's a story that is not going to make the front page of the New York Times, a Detroit grocer getting into a fight, if it's anybody other than Ty Cobb. And the fact that that was a Ty Cobb story, a non-baseball story, I just had to laugh because he obviously in his life, he was just a guy who had a bad temper.
What was his problem? Didn't he see his father murdered?
His father was murdered, and I'll tell you what happened to Ty Cobb. His mother killed his father thinking that he was an intruder coming into the house one night. She picked up a gun and shot and killed her husband, Ty Cobb's father, believing him to be an intruder. Now, that was the story that she gave the judge. That's the story she gave the attorneys. And that's the story that stuck because I don't believe she was ever remanded to. She wasn't incarcerated for it, I don't think. Ty Cobb was bitter about that for the rest of his life. He grew to become an extremely ornery guy. He sharpened the spikes on his cleats. He slid into second base with the cleats up high, preferably right toward a guy's face. And he looked to spike you. And he had those cleats sharpened to like a dog's teeth.
Man.
Yeah. And he jammed those spikes into the ankles, into the shins, into the thighs, into the upper body of any guy that was in his way. There was a reason why Ty Cobb had the most hits in baseball until Pete Rose came along and broke the record. So, and then later in life, there was a very famous article written in Life magazine. You got to find this one, you guys. A writer for Life magazine found Ty Cobb somewhere in Las Vegas. I don't know. It was around 1960. Ty Cobb at this time is 70 years old. And it is a story that you will never forget. This poor writer put himself at the mercy of Ty Cobb for 3 days. And that included racing down the mountainside in an automobile at breakneck speeds. This guy thought he was going to die.
What, the writer?
Yeah.
So he was staying with Ty Cobb.
He had access to Ty Cobb for 3 days. I don't know whether he was living at his house, but there are stories there of a gun coming out and Ty Cobb playing with this gun, of Ty Cobb racing his car down a mountain, of him getting angry and pissed off over certain questions, of him talking about guys whose asses he kicked. Ty Cobb went into the stands and beat up a guy who was sitting in a wheelchair one night because he was heckling him. Ty Cobb got into a fist fight with a former player at a banquet 20 years after both guys had retired. When the guy said to Cobb something along the lines of, you remember when you slid into home plate and you were called out? And he goes, yeah. Well, guess what? You were really safe. Like that. And Cobb immediately swung on the guy.
Oh, my God. Well, he was obviously mentally ill.
There was definitely some kind of a rage, borderline personality thing going on with Ty Cobb, yeah. But you got to find this article in Life magazine. This guy put his life on the line. You won't believe it. It's fantastic. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with other scintillating bedtime stories in just a moment. PhilHendryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, did we clean up all the business we had to clean up tonight? I brought down my big...
You want to show...
Here it is. Okay, this is the Osterizer. I know it's dirty. This is my new glass Osterizer. It had, banana shake in it. That's why it's dirty. Now, the reason I'm showing you that is because I had to buy a new one. For those of you watching Phil TV, and you guys just listening on the radio, I've got a brand new glass Osterizer blender. And if you're a fat slob like I was and you want to go on a diet, one of the things you need to have, one of the things you should have, one of the things you better go get is a blender, Jack. Get a blender.
Why?
Because you're going to want to be able to, when push comes to shove, you can get the necessary calories and you can stay away from all the unnecessary carbs by making yourself some kind of a blended vegetable or fruit shake, man. That's what you want to do. Because you can combine different things and it'll be nice.
What is the shake that you make?
I make bananas. That's all. Just bananas. And I was telling Dan, I went out and I got the, because I usually use that whey protein, but I went out and I got some of this protein powder that has vanilla flavoring, you know.
Man, that stuff's got sugar in it, though.
Well, it's only 20 calories more than the regular one. You know, what the hell, man? I just said, I'll do it. Because my kids are all, you should get the kind that has cookies and cream, and they also have chocolate, and they also, oh, you know, I don't want to do that. But, well, what happened was the other night, I had a old Osterizer plastic blender. And generally, when I'm off the air, and it'll happen here again in about 10, 15 minutes, I go and I take a blender, or whenever I get home, and I load it up with ice, and I load it up with what, you know, some protein powders, bananas, whatever the hell else, and water.
What? No milk, huh?
No, no milk. No way.
Whoa, man, that must taste lousy.
No, it's like a smoothie or something, right?
Yeah, you know, no milk. No, milk sucks. I don't drink that crap anymore. And I don't even drink that soy milk. I don't drink any of that stuff anymore. Water is fine. So I turned the blender on the other night, right? And I look back and I see all kinds of banana and protein powder and stuff squirting out of the side of my blender. The damn ice had blown a hole right in the side of this blender.
Well, what in the hell are you putting in there?
Yeah, what are you mixing?
It's got nothing to do with what I'm... What do you mean? What do you think I'm mixing up? Nitroglycerin? It was a hole that was blown in the side of the blender.
Well, it must have been something.
Yeah, it was the ice. I think a piece of ice. Because, you know, I'm crunching the ice up.
You're not supposed to do ice in there.
Yes, you are. Who says you can't?
Well, don't you have to get a special machine to do ice?
No. You get a special machine. You put the ice in there and you chop it up. They got it. You ever seen the chop function on a blender?
Uh-oh.
Well, then I don't know what to tell you, but,
But you're telling me that the blender you own was such a cheap piece of junk that a piece of ice blew a hole in it.
I'm telling you that the blender I owned was so old and so beat, and so battered and beat up that, yeah, eventually it became compromised, the plastic in one point of the blender, and bang, just a piece of the plastic blender container blew out, and the whole thing came shooting out the side. So that's when I guess it's time to get a new blender.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to know, though.
Well, not really.
Why?
Because I'd rather know that I need a new blender before the old one, a hole blows in it, and it's spewing shake all over the place, you know?
Well, Phil, you said it was old, and you already had a new one bought, right?
I did. I had gone out and I bought a new one, but I was like, being lazy, I don't have to unpack that yet. I'll just keep using the old one until the old one...
the old one did what it did, man. It blew up.
It did. You're right. It didn't blow up, but it definitely just as bad. So that thing is in the garbage, and I got the new one, and that's what you got to have, man. You should always have a blender, you know, if you're a fat slob, because you want to blend up some stuff and quit eating all that other stuff, you know.
So you're going to Maestro's, and you're going to have a steak, and you're going to have mashed potatoes, and what else?
I don't know, maybe some asparagus, probably just like a normal meal, you know, and a bottle of wine, and who knows, you know, but that's a ways off still. I still got probably 6 more pounds, and you know how it is, man, those are the slowest, that's the longest run of your life, man, those last 6 pounds. All right, so as we mentioned, thank you, by the way, everybody on Facebook talking to us and saying hello, and I appreciate also, I wanted to mention another letter we got over there on Facebook, and we do have our BSPs, and I should be acknowledging our BSPs on the air here, because they're over commenting and talking about the show as well, but our Facebook fan page, some people have made some nice comments. This is one, it's just a message I got from a Michael Dietrich, who is talking about having you in the studio, Margaret. As you know, we've gotten some people who have been rather critical of that move.
I don't care.
Well, that's okay, you know. But he said that he enjoys it, and he likes the fact that you're here, and that he is enjoying us evolving the product and, you know, all of that stuff. And he said, keep up the good work. And we said, thank you very much, Michael. Here he is. I actually said, thank you, brother.
Yeah, I saw that. I wrote that down for you.
Don't tell anybody.
Oh, yeah, you're not even, you had Robert doing it.
No, just that one time. Phil, thanks for delivering. I'm glad to stay a BSP when you update your product and follow your own creative instinct. Margaret in the studio adds a great dynamic, in my opinion.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. It's very nice.
All right. And then he said, it's good to hear you're at peace. That means you will probably continue to deliver and expand your business. Keep doing what you do, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Very, very kindly.
Everybody talking about business now. I've never heard of so much business being discussed.
Well, that's the world we're living in now. We're living in the world of business, baby. We're living in where the artist has to become a business person as well. If you're out and you're doing radio shows, TV, whatever you're doing, you must become your own business manager. You can't leave it to other people anymore. You have to control every aspect of your life. You have to put the your accountant in a headlock and run his head into a door. I'm kidding. I would never do that with our good, close, personal friend, Mitch. But you do have to, you got to keep your eye on the ball. Well, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by our good friend Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. Online at philhenryshow.com as well with a backstage pass. You can get yourself thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of downloadable material. You can watch our video cast each and every night. You can download our Milwaukee Lion games. We just put another one up. It was the Lions against the L.A. Tan. I ain't going to tell you the final score until a whole hell of a lot later in the week. How about that? So I won't get anybody mad at me. And you can also, of course, take part in our news feed and look at some of our TV pilots and look at some of our other videos in our video archive. Until tonight. No, yes. Until tonight at 10 o'clock. What is today? Tuesday. Until tonight at 10 o'clock. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.